now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your Watchman of the Night Skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live, and I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Tonight, we're going to be talking about crop circles. I've had this guest on once before, his name, Freddy Silva, and for over a decade, he has been best-selling author and an independent researcher of ancient systems of knowledge, alternative history, and earth mysteries. His book, Secrets in the Fields, The Science and Mysticism of Crop Circles, a critically acclaimed work on the controversial topic. He's also a documentary filmmaker with the titles Stairway to Heaven and Temple Making. He is also a regular magazine contributor and conducts tours to sacred sites in Britain, France, Malta, and Egypt. So the question is, what are these crop circles saying? Why are they coming to us? And really, who's decoding them? Because there's a lot of controversy surrounded with crop circles. And for some reason, I know I can trust Freddy Silva. So my guest tonight, Freddy Silva. Freddy, welcome to UFO Encounters Live. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good.
I'm glad that you're on the show. I'm expert in crop circles. And I remember meeting you, and we kind of had, I was asking you, is there something spiritual to this crop circle issue? And I remember your eyes lighting up. And saying, oh, yes. And a lot of people, why do you think, Freddy, that a lot of the UFO researchers stay away from the spiritual side? Why is that?
I think there's too much stuck in their heads. and I met quite a lot of them, and bless them, they are following a certain path, and that's, we're all following a certain path. My angle was to basically have no angle. I wanted to be totally open to what's out there, to the information, to the evidence, and the facts, and let them come out as they are. And it was a huge revelation to me that once you start letting go of the intellectual side of crop circles, the really important part creeps up. And it's a subject that some people aren't really comfortable with, and especially in the realm of UFO subjects, because it's not taken very seriously by so many people, that a lot of researchers do like to hang on to the intellectual side. And I get that, because it gives people a certain intellectual framework to hang their hope on. Spiritual things tend to be much more personal. They tend to be much more ethereal. They're harder to prove. And paradoxically, it is the spiritual angle of crop circles which is the most important. Aside from all the scientific evidence, the scientific geometrical evidence that's in there that's helping us create new anti-gravitational devices, for example, and that's been done.
Yeah.
But aside from all of that practical stuff, there is a huge component, and that component really searches and ask us to sort of search within ourselves to try and find that within, which asks us very awkward questions. For example, why are we here and what are we doing to ourselves as a culture, as a species, but also what are we doing to our own planet? And these things may be very hokey, new agey stuff, but you know what? They're the most important questions we have to ask ourselves, and we better sort of start straightening our lives up and realize that we do have to face these awkward questions, and that's exactly what the crop circles are doing. They're getting us to ask, what are we doing with our privileged position of being here on Earth as stewards of a planet? And some people just find that uncomfortable, but once you get into it and you have personal experiences as I've had,
there's so many different.
That's all to you.
Yeah, there's so many different views. Now, your book, Secrets in the Fields, you authored this in 2002. Have you wanted to revisit this, and have you wanted to say, okay, this is what I found in 2002, obviously, and your book was quite the hit. Is there anything more? Is there something, because there are secrets, there's messages. Is there any messages going on right now?
It was a very important book. It came out exactly at the right time. In fact, it was released the same time as the film Signs, which is an extraordinary coincidence. And sometimes I wonder who's pulling the strings. Upstairs in the management. I just let things go where they are, and they work for a reason. But yes, it was a big hit, and I wish I could repeat that with a follow-up. But you know what? I didn't really do it for for my own benefit or for money. it was to present the evidence and the facts exactly as they came out. And it was an astonishing thing to discover a decade later that not only is the book still popular, it's still being referenced as a Bible on crop circle research, but you know what? Nothing really new has come up since that book was written. And it is surprising and shocking to me at the same time, and frustrating, of course.
Now, when you say new, there has not been any more crop circles, or just nothing, no other mysteries, no other mystery messages?
It's been, and it's come as a huge sort of surprise and a shock to some people, but it's been mostly hoaxing since 2003. I saw my last complex crop circles in England in 2003, and after that, I can tell you 99% have been hoaxed. And you can tell, a seasoned eye can actually tell the difference, and obviously, if you've done this as long as I have, you can actually look at the ground features and the usual evidence. You can differentiate one from the other, and you can tell who the usual suspects are because they're even copying each other's designs. That's a hard thing to say to people. It does break their momentum and their hope, but do not lose hope because the crop circle phenomenon has always been a conversation. And just like you and I having a conversation, it has a beginning, it has an end. And this is not a circus. I mean, the crop circles are not here to perform every year. People expect them to just show up next season and the following season. That's not what they're here for. I mean, the beings that are creating this, and I'll say that again, the beings that are creating this are doing this for a very important reason, to give us very important information. And I feel that the conversation appears to have basically been given. It's up to us to sit down, analyze it, deconstruct it. And since then, I can say, hand on heart, that I've not really seen any major new advances in research. I have not seen any major evidence that will disprove or accentuate what I've already done. So it is surprising and frustrating at the same time for me, but it is what it is. And I can also say that the information that we have uncovered from the phenomenon between the years of 1890 and 2003, there's so much stuff there that we still haven't done, in addition to methods of propulsion that have been discovered, new mathematical theorems. There's even healing modalities inside these things. There's so much still there to look at. So my sort of suggestion to people who get discouraged by what I'm saying is to go back to the original phenomenon and just delve deep and stay with it because there's still so much to go with.
Now, before 2002, 2003, Freddie, how many would you say during the time up to 2002, 2003, how many of them were hoaxed?
Oh, it's impossible to say because it varies by year. I can honestly say that up until Doug and Dave were presented by the British Ministry of Defense, and that is proven, that virtually all of them were real. You'd get one or two each year that were man-made just to sort of disprove something or to try and throw people off the scent, or even farmers who would try to replicate these things because they were as astonished as we were as to what was behind it.
Yeah.
And, of course, they couldn't replicate it. Doug and Dave comes out. You have 2 years around 1992 when suddenly you get about 80% hoaxed. It's as if the phenomenon just retreated to allow the hoaxing to come out to show the difference between one and the other. And it was night and day.
Yeah.
And then, of course, humans being humans, there's always the pranksters that go out to try and take the mick out of the researchers because they don't feel that they're doing anything valid to society. But in 1994, it went up again. It was the real phenomenon went up 95% for the next 5 years. And then about 1999, it starts getting about 50-50. By 2003, we're seeing a very lopsided amount of hoaxing going on. And then it just kind of, the real phenomenon since then has been sort of one or two real ones here and there. Ironically, the simpler ones being the real ones, and I'm also seeing a rise in real crop circles. I'd say about six a year that are reported in North America, which is really surprising. So to all our friends in North America who are listening, we are actually getting more real crop circles here than we are in England.
Hmm. So they've switched their place to send messages.
Yeah, and you know what? I was actually just in Ohio, and one of the last people that I can say is an honest crop circle researcher, Jeffrey Wilson. He lives in Ohio. He's been very paramount in American research for many years. Lovely fellow. And he always seems to, it's just the phenomenon seems to sort of be going after him. They seem to be very open to people who are on an open quest to understand the truth. And it reminds me of my days in England with the phenomenon. It seemed to follow me around and other people around. And it seems to be going around Ohio and around the Midwest, exactly in the areas where he'd be looking too. So it's funny that they seem to be switching sides of the Atlantic.
So almost as if to...
not really polluted.
So almost as if to communicate directly to him.
Absolutely. It's as if they find your number, and if you happen to be open, with an open mind, they just come and get you. I mean, they follow you around, and they play tricks with you. The coincidences are extraordinary. There's almost a weird sense of humor that goes on. But it does remind me of a lot of the work that even Pat Delgado, the original researcher, was doing. He said exactly the same thing, that if you leave yourself open, they seem to be following you around. They seem to prompt you where to go. And this is what got us excited about the fact that there is a sentient force behind the whole phenomenon anyway.
Interesting. My guest is Freddie Silva. His website, www.invisibletemple.com. We'll be right back. Question: are you always sick? I mean, like colds and flus, feeling lousy. Does this happen to you? Are you tired? No energy? Bordering on depression? You know, when your body feels bad, your mind becomes affected. Do you want to change? I'm saying, do you have the desire to feel better? Life Change Tea to the rescue. Our customers have said, since I've been on the tea, I haven't been sick. Wow! An all-natural product that fights sickness. If you're sick, you miss work. Is it really worth it? Try Life Change Tea today. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Let me say that again. 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is a member of the Better Business Bureau. Lose those unwanted pounds, be healthy, and drink Life Change Tea. GetTheTea.com. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live. And, of course, my guest is Freddie Silva. His website, www.invisibletemple.com. It's invisibletemple.com. And his book is Secrets in the Field. So I've got to ask you this. What are the secrets? I mean, I don't want to give away your whole book and want people to go get your book. But have the beings that brought the real crop circles, have they tried to tell us something and we're missing it?
Oh, no, we're getting it. It's just slow work because there's so little funding. I mean, people like myself have had to give up their marriages and their houses to finance ourselves, so it's not easy. It's slow, which goes back to my idea that the reason why they've slowed the communication down in the last decade is because we can't keep up with it. Pointless keep giving us information if we're not there to analyze it. But there is a huge amount of information. In fact, I tend to look at the crop circles like hieroglyphs. They have multiple layers of information. So different people from different backgrounds looking at the same symbol will extract different information, and that's the beauty about them. So, for example, it reminds me of the time back in 1990 when two physicists in London looked at a particular design, and they were able to unearth not just the first speed of light that we know so well, but they also extracted the second and the third speed of light. And it took conventional science 5 years to catch up with them, to go back hand on heart and say, actually, light does travel at two different speeds. So this is the kind of stuff that they're bearing in the designs. The image on the original cover of my book, which is a very famous tetrahedral shape, which just seemed to touch everybody on so many levels. Mm-hmm. If you measure that whole thing out, you get an extraordinary number. Which in gematria, which is a very ancient system of converting numbers to letters and vice versa, it added up to the symbol of resurrection, which is basically the name Lord Jesus Christ in gematria. Now, I don't think Christ was making it. They were just trying to make a point that it's to do with an everlasting soulfulness of a different level of reality where things just seem to survive on and on. where things have resuscitated again and again. But then to another level, someone actually extracted that design and built it as a 3D model, and they've got it to levitate. So it is an anti-gravity device, exactly as we had learned from a channeling session in England, which was never made public. So again, if you just stick with it and you follow those designs which just grab you literally by the horns and keep delving into it, you'll find that there's so much information for people. I remember my old colleague, Gerald Hawkins, who passed away a few years ago. He was sitting in a shower one day, and he was dreaming about this particular design, and he's an astronomer general of Boston University. So this is so far away from what he did. And in a visionary moment, he just saw that these three simple circles were aligned in a certain way that allowed him to extract the first new mathematical theorem for the first time since Euclid. So that's about 2,300 years. And he went on to extract five more new theorems from the design. So there's something there for mathematicians, too. Mm. It depends where you're coming from. We have healing modalities, by the way. People have been recording healings in crop circles or when they look at the images. I designed this card system, which would allow the energy to be stored in cards. And you'd be amazed what people come back and tell me what they do with the energy of these cards and how they apply it in the healing arts. They're staggering things. But again, just like Gene Roddenberry found when he was attending these channeling sessions, that when you have another level of consciousness, whether it's physical or non-physical, trying to interact with another, such as us, they can only guide, they can only help. They'll put these things in front of us. They know that the symbols will be mysterious. We'd look at them. We'd be keen to find out more about them. But then it's up to us to figure out the answers, and that's exactly what the Prime Directive in Star Trek is also all about. It's the non-intervention into another species. You just basically point them in the right direction and hope that they'll get the message so that they can basically better their lives.
Now, do you think that the only thing they're giving us is technology? I mean, is there other messages besides just stuff that increases our technology?
Oh, there's multiple levels. In fact, I think it was Pat Delgado originally who noticed that each season seems to bring on a new lesson. It's as if we'd be going back to kindergarten. And at the beginning, the symbols would add up each season to describe what we knew about life, what we knew about biology, about the way that the world works from our point of view. And then by 1994, something just shifted, whereby each season we'd be shown a different level of how the world really works and how the universe really is hardwired together. So these are things to do with cosmology, with history. They also point to certain phases in our history where we were building stone circles, and we left these incredible monuments to last until our lifetime. And the crop circles always reference them. Even in North America, in the prairies of Canada, they will always reference ancient Native American sites, for example. It's as if they're showing us that we need to reconnect with part of our history. And that's a very important angle, as I found, because I then went on to learn more about sacred sites. And I actually found that places like the pyramids and stone circles and Stonehenge are exactly working in the same way as crop circles. They just happen to be physical and permanent. And when you actually go to these places and you realize what they do to you physically, biologically, and psychologically, then you understand what the crop circles are also doing to people who interact with them. There is a subconscious connection that is taking place, and it's actually helping people to discover more about this, about their own soul, for example.
So Stonehenge, the pyramids, right now, hardwired, we can go there, and it will change us some way, somehow?
Oh, absolutely. These sites are absolutely alive. It's one of the great pleasures of doing what I do is to take people around the world to sacred sites and get them into a space where they can just stop thinking for a second and let them just feel the place. And this is where it gets into that sort of new agey thing. But believe me, it really does work if you just allow it. There are these things have been studied for centuries. And I remember one electrical engineer in France who studied these stones up in Carnac in Brittany. And he found that they are basically alive. These sites are living. They are electrical. They are magnetic. They charge. They discharge. And if you happen to be in a certain frame of mind where you allow the miraculous to happen and you interact with these places at certain points during the month, yes, you will have altered states of consciousness. You will go into a shamanic journeying moment. People are healed.
Healed, are you talking about on a mental state or a physical state?
Both, subconscious and conscious and physical, multiple levels, actually. People have actually had actual healings at these sites, even though they didn't go there with that intent. They just went there to be open to understanding what they're about, and suddenly they come out, and something that they were suffering from for 15 years disappears. This is very incredible stuff.
And does it stay away? In other words, when they're healed, does it stay? You know,
usually it does. From the I've heard of at least 800 cases of people where it really is permanent. It's very incredible, and it's all to do with the fact that, if you look at the human body, we now know that it's mostly non-physical. The human body is made up of electrodes and atoms vibrating at very fast speed. But we are electromagnetic, we are full of water, and the two most important elements in every single sacred site around the world are water and electromagnetism. So you begin to see the connection between the two.
Interesting.
They're also built geometrically. And our cells, the DNA of our crystalline structure, is made of combinations of pentagrams and hexagrams as well. So basically, when you're walking into a temple, you're walking to a mirror of the human body. And it's the same stuff happening with the crop circles, too. So people are having exactly the same experiences in the real crop circles, too. So there is a huge benefit there, both shamanically and also in terms of physical change that happened to you. On a very, very deep level. So no wonder people are so attracted to them.
Interesting.
No wonder people are beginning to wake up to the sites of stone around the world as well. There is a relationship between the crop circles and the ancient sacred sites because the two are aligned on the same electromagnetic currents of the Earth's energy paths.
We'll go to break, and we'll be right back with my guest, Freddie Silva.
If you would like to make contact with the host, email Ronnie at ufoshow@msn.com and make contact.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Some quick questions. Do you know what is in the water you are drinking? Do you care? Have you considered the quality of water for your plants and animals? Do you believe water is important to your life? If your water could be changed into healthy water inexpensively, would you consider changing? If so, log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com. That's structuredwatertechnologies.com. Once again, structuredwatertechnologies.com. Learn, investigate, and act. Watch the informational short videos on the website. Water is most important. Structured water is beneficial. And learn how structured water can benefit you. Log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com.
So I just won't know. Show me.
Welcome to The Other Side. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live. I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. My guest, Freddie Silva, his book is Secrets in the Fields, and his website, www.invisibletemple.com. You're going to want to visit that, invisibletemple.com. Freddie, these messages have been coming for years and years and years. I mean, I don't think crop circles is just 5 or 10 years old. So if these messages are stopping, is there something to that? In other words, you know, you say that, you know, conversation starts and conversation ends. Well, the fact that the conversation ends, is that a negative thing?
Oh, God, no. I think they give us as much as we can handle as a species. And we are very slow down here. Things happen on a glacial level in human affairs, as you know. And yes, they do come through in history. I mean, the crop circle suddenly get mentioned in 1680 by no less than the director of the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, England, which is quite a high seat of learning. And I still remember reading his book where he comes across these mysterious fairy rings and witches' circles, as they call them. And he noticed all the evidence that we see in the real crop circles today. And then they sort of disappear. They reappear again at the end of the Victorian era in Canada and in England again. And again, people see them. Policemen witness them happening in less than 15 seconds. Farm laborers are amazed that they take metal objects inside them and they start discharging these electrical particles. So the devil then gets blamed for them.
Yeah.
And then they go away again. They reappear in the 40s just before the Second World War. They go away again. And then they really come to the forefront in the 1980s, and I think it's really the help of the worldwide proliferation of the media that's helped the crop circles become what they are today. I think it may have been a much more wider phenomenon back in those days. It's just that people didn't really know where to write about, or we may have not even come across the information to begin with, but certainly they seem to be popping in and out of history.
Mm.
And it reminds me of something that was said during a channeling in England. And I should point out as well that the person that channeled the original messages from the crop circles, these things were not happening in England at the time. In fact, she was amazed at what she was receiving. She had no idea what was coming through. And this is a woman that the military and the British police often go to help with criminal activity to find out, you know, the location of missing people, dead bodies, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she has a 99% record of being correct. So we know that the information that comes from her is very accurate. She is one of those rare gifted persons. And the conversation really reminds me of the time when they were saying, in one of the transcripts, that they called themselves Watchers and Shining Ones. And they said that we do tend to come through Earth's history every once in a while. Sometimes you call us guardian angels. Sometimes you call us shining beings. We are written about in your holy books. Sometimes you call us fairies. And sometimes you call us demons because you don't understand. But if you go back over periods to Egyptian history, Celtic mythology, and even the Bible, you do come up with groups of people called the Watchers and the Shining Ones. And they all seem to be associated with mysterious events. So there is some truth to this, that there is a sort of consciousness out there that is very much concerned about our well-being, and that they do pop up once in a while just to sort of steer us in the right direction, because I guess they can see that sometimes we do get it wrong. It's we get things a little squiffy down here.
I think,
and
so, especially with all the wars and all the, you know, we do seem to have a brigade of people of the global elite that want to control things. Do you think the Watchers are infiltrating that and trying to cut loose the people from the bondages and that you know, some of these greedy people are doing?
I think they basically can't take sides, and I think that's the correct thing to do. I think we do come down here as souls to engage in certain experiments, and we are participants of it, even though most of us don't know what we're doing for most of the time. Things are what they are. It's a grand experiment. We have to be in charge of our own destiny and our own reality. And for someone else to come down and help us out of that contravenes the law of the universe. And it also means that we learn nothing if someone intervenes on our behalf.
But I mean,
what they can do is suggest things.
But what I'm talking about is, like, some of these elite groups, all they want to do is control, kill us, pharmaceuticals, and we can go on, and I don't want to go into that whole conspiracy thing.
Exactly.
But there is a force that is not a positive force that is trying to
imprison people, and whether we think we're free or not. So are these watchers, they know about this. Are they hinting and telling us how to get out of this, opening up our minds, our consciousness, to say we can be free and these are the things we need to do? Or are they just sitting back and watching us go into prison? I mean, what do you see?
I see the former of your statements. It's actually right on the nose, the fact that they are giving us helpful information, and then it's up to us to extract the information, have a certain experience, and become enlightened. In fact, the Templars had a very good name for it. It was called the Raising of the Dead, and it was part of initiation secrets where you learn a certain kind of mystery school information, which becomes self-empowering, and suddenly you realize how to go about life in a very different way. And it was mostly to do with the overcoming of fear and knowing that you are a very sort of powerful person. We are all extremely powerful people. We just tend to live in fear and hopelessness most of the time. And one of the things that I see through the crop circles, and even with going into temples and experiencing what they do to people, is that people do come out aware and awake. They seem to be much more emboldened. And when they go back to their real lives, they'll be able to read events with greater clarity. They don't buy into the nonsense that we hear on television. In fact, most of people switch off, and they decide to become the change that they wish to see. It's not easy. I mean, we're trying to fight 2,000 years of control. These things are going to take time, but the encouraging thing is, and I tell this to everybody, is to not lose faith, because if you look at physicists and how they describe the biological world, they notice that the world is based on two principles, order and chaos. And every so often, chaos descends into order, but that chaos and that order go back and forwards like figure eight throughout history and throughout the universe.
Yeah.
So we've gone through a level of order. Whether you call it order or not is another matter, but we've gone through a level of order, and we're descending into chaos. And physicists will say that the greater the amount of chaos, the greater the jump to another level of order. So it actually encourages me that we're seeing so much chaos in the world right now, because it shows me that people are waking up. The powers that be are struggling. I mean, this recent thing with what happened in Congress is just one showcase where we see a political party imploding right in front of our very eyes. So we do get to feel the repercussions as people, but you know what? This actually might be a good thing in the end, because it's showing the snakes for who they are. It's bringing everything out to the open, which means that the potential for us now to rise up and jump to a new level of order is extraordinary. So if things weren't actually in such a chaotic state, I would feel that I'm not doing my job properly. And you can take that with a little twist in the eye.
You know, it's good. It's good. Are the watchers connected to the creative force? Now, I know that we have been taught a religious system, which, you know, if you do your homework, you find out it's a part of they and them that are trying to control us. But there is, at least in my opinion, there is a creator. Are these watchers, these shining ones, are they connected to this creative force?
Absolutely. We all are. We just happen to be the physical version of the watchers. They don't have a physical body. And if I remember the trance channelings correctly, they describe themselves as beings, as souls, as energy that have incarnated so many billions of times that they said, and I almost laugh when I say this, you humans cannot even perceive the amount of times that we have been in physical bodies. We've done it so many times, we don't need to do it anymore. Our job now is to watch and assist other souls who have decided to go into the physical world to help them develop, but we can't intervene directly. We can only show by subtle means, like crop circles, that there is magic, that there's a wholeness in the universe, and everything is exactly as it needs to be.
So they're like guides.
Exactly. And that's why they say that sometimes, and again I quote, your religious forces describe this as guardian angels.
Okay.
So, yeah, there is something very positive about them, actually, and it does ring true, but the one thing that they keep emphasizing is the need to do the work yourself. Even the Hopi have said this. They said that, you know, we're the ones we've been waiting for. No one's going to come down and help us fix things. We're just going to get little assistance, but we have to do the work.
Now,
that's a very important thing.
Do you see this as, is there a dark energy as well? In other words, we have the watchers that are trying to show us things into the positive, saying, hey, you know, this is not about a wish system where you can just, you know, boom, wish this and it's going to be good. You have to do the work. Is there a system on the dark side, and are there dark beings that are trying to do the same, except lead us into the forces of evil, so on and so forth? Do you believe in that?
Oh, they're called Doug and Dave, Team Satan, or Circle Makers, as they now call themselves,
okay.
Which we have been outed as being paid by MI5 in Britain. No, I've not found anything negative in the crop circles at all. In fact, quite the opposite. It's been overwhelmingly positive.
No, but I mean, not just in the crop circles, but I'm saying as there are watchers and they're using the crop circles to speak to us, is there something out there? In other words, what is driving this commotion of fake crop circles? Are they trying to cover up some of these messages? And you know what I'm saying? In other words, we have a good force with the watchers. Is there a bad force? Is there a negative force, or is there just only the good?
You mean in the spirit world?
Yes.
I've not encountered anything that's negative unless you sort of draw it and it comes to find you. I mean, for example, you'd find the same thing in UFO research where you have a lot of people who've had connections with in-body beings who are very positive, but then you've got those people who've had some very negative experiences with greys, for example.
Yes, yes.
So I'm sure that they're there.
Okay.
Not been my experience to experience anything negative in the circles. The negativity has really come from the people in the physical world, in governments, who are basically trying to dampen the whole thing down, because I think they are aware. There are people who are aware of what's going on, and it is creating a new kind of religion in people. People feel empowered and emboldened by these designs, and they can't have that. So the only negativity and darkness I've seen is being crop circles made by people who are being paid, and we know they're being paid by these people. I've actually seen three designs, and that was back in 2002, I believe, or 2001, which I believe were actually microwave projects, which actually burnt the plants. And they looked like just real crop circles on the surface, but when the plants finally begin to go back into the ground, you see that there's a whole area that's been made sterile. It's as if someone's actually used satellite technology to try and recreate the same thing to a very limited degree. And it threw me off at the time, and it was actually the editor of Nexus magazine who pointed this out to me, and we went back there and looked at these designs, which didn't seem to fit hoaxing or real designs. And sure enough, the plants were absolutely dead, as if they'd been microwaved.
It was a technology by man to try to imitate the technology of the true crop circles.
Absolutely, and it gave you a damn good headache, too. I mean, it's just like you were in a microwave oven. A microwave is very fleeting energy.
Yes.
That's not what the real crop circles are working with. It's a different frequency.
I've heard the real crop circles, you literally can possibly walk in and get healed, or you feel you go into another trance or something. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it works both ways, and I should explain that. It's a frequency. It's like a radio frequency.
Okay.
And your body's a radio frequency as well. So, yes, most of the time you go in there, and it's like you're doing drugs. You're high.
You're on a high.
You start seeing and hearing with great clarity. You develop a very great ability to actually see energy. I mean, I can see energy now. It's the strangest thing. But it's very self-empowering. But then there are those designs which I know damn well are not going to do me any good, and I walk in there and I walk out pea green, because it's just like walking into a music store, and you know your body's frequency is tuned to classical music, and you walk in and they're playing punk, and it's not because punk is bad, it's because the two frequencies just cancel each other out.
Yes.
And that just means that place is not for you. It's meant for somebody else.
Mm.
Same thing happens with pyramids. Some people would, they love the Great Pyramid at Giza, but most women don't like going in there. But you know what? They love going into the one next door, and yet the two are virtually identical.
So do you think it's possibly
slightly different?
Do you think it's possible that those pyramids, one is male energy and the other one's female energy?
Oh, absolutely, and it can be proved. Just look at the slope angle. They're very slightly different slope angles, and the inner chambers are just slightly different geometrically to make that change. And most guys don't like going into the second one. So it's what's appropriate. That's what gives you that high. And it's almost like a fail-safe device that if you feel a little bit out of whack going into a crop circle or, in fact, a temple, then just leave. It's not for you. It's meant for somebody else.
Very interesting. Freddie Silva, his book is Secrets in the Field. Do not go away. Be right back. Hello.
Energy. This world has so much energy, yet our bodies are lacking. What if you could tap into something that gave you more energy? What if you could drink a beverage and receive more energy? Well, Life Change Tea is your answer. Our number one compliment is people receiving more energy. And our product is all natural and no caffeine. And think about this. If you have more energy, you get more done. What a concept! If you are desiring more energy and a healthier lifestyle, it's time to drink Life Change Tea. Our name hints to our success. So here's how to order. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And remember, there's only $3 shipping on your complete order. Again, more energy, more success. That's GetTheTea.com. Welcome back to the show. This is the last segment of UFO Encounters Live. And, of course, my guest is Freddie Silva. Again, his website is www.invisibletemple.com. That's invisibletemple.com. And, of course, Secrets in the Fields is his book. Now, again, this was authored in 2002, but has a wealth of information. So you're definitely going to want to get this book from him, and you can find it on his website. Freddie, you know, we don't have too much longer, so I got to make these kind of, you know, real important questions. And I think one of the first ones that I would say is, that, is there any warnings in these messages that you found up until 2002? Warnings that maybe we're hurting ourselves, we need to get it right, or we're not going to have a civilization? Any kind of anything that were warnings, or were they all positive messages?
I think they're all overwhelmingly positive, actually. I think they do understand the bigger picture, and that we're becoming to understand the bigger picture, too, in certain parts of our scientific society, where we do create our own universe, and the potential to create the future is always in flux. I travel around the world every year. I just came back from Ohio talking to a small group of people in Canton, for example, and you wouldn't think that as being a spiritual hub of Ohio, or even Ohio as being a spiritual hub of America, but believe me, there are little groups of people, little pods, doing incredible things quietly, and it shows me that we're actually close to hitting a critical mass. Now, we can't predict the future, because the future depends on our reaction to present events. It's always changing. So the more people that are thinking about a positive outcome, they're working quietly to create that outcome, the better the potential. So the only sort of warning that I could possibly imagine in the crop circles is that if we don't pay attention to the work that's in there, to the information that's been given, then it's we're on our own. And we know where that's got us so far.
We're doomed.
We're doomed. I am very positive, actually. And again, okay, I reiterate what I said earlier about the fact that if I'm seeing so much chaos in the world right now, it's actually a good thing, because it tells me that people like me are doing the right thing, and people that listen to what I'm saying, they're acting on that information, and they're creating their own little pods all around the world, and then they're becoming teachers in their own right. And I think that's a great way of doing things. Keep it under the radar. Then by the time the changes come, the powers that be won't even be aware that the changes happened, because it's already happened without them even knowing about it.
Do you see, you know, obviously we run on about 8 to 10% of our brain. We have, you know, whatever that is, 90% plus that is sitting idle. And do you think that there is something, what a lot of people might call a shift, a spiritual shift, that we're going to open up, that brain is going to start firing, and we're going to go and create our own new world type of idea? Is there a shift coming around the corner, and is there any messages that would say that this is a possibility or a truth?
Oh, I think that the shift has been happening for hundreds of years. I mean, if you look at the way society has grown from not burning women at the stake, and we're no longer hanging black people from trees, I think we've made a huge progress. In a lot of parts of the world, in Europe, for example, gay marriage is now a certainty. I think we have grown as human beings, but the shift is slow. It's glacial. It happens over lifetimes and generations. It would be nice if it happened quicker, and I think there is an urgency. I think we do feel collectively that we do have to get our act together much, much quicker, because the Earth certainly can't handle another billion people on the planet. We know that for sure. But I also think that those moments of chaos are helping us to move faster and faster. There are new answers coming out of the woodwork faster than we can blink. You just have to look in the right places. So, yes, I think we are hardwiring us, the way we think and look at the world, and that eventually, biologically, we'll begin to open up parts of our bodies, which were equipped right from the beginning to get to solve any problem. And we are seeing people with extraordinary abilities coming around and even changing ourselves.
I think we can look and see that the Earth is sick. We have the water, the radiated water in the Pacific. We have oil spill in the Gulf. We have chemtrails in the air, and so on and so forth. It looks like our Earth is sick. So, is there any messages that says if you do this, that, or the other, you can clean your Earth and help heal her? Is there any messages that way?
Well, actually, there was a couple of entries in the channeling information that said that some of the crop circles are not for people, and I want to know what that was about. And they said, well, it's really meant for the Earth, and what we're doing is, to some degree, we are helping to stabilize the Earth to buy humans time to get their act together. So I do think that some of these crop circles, which do tend to be the ones where people tend not to go into,
yes,
because there's a certain frequency about them, almost like there's an invisible electrical fence that says, you really shouldn't be in here, this is not for you. And I've gone into a couple of them because I need to experience things before I talk about them.
Yeah.
And, of course, I inevitably get sick as a result. It's a short-term thing.
So it's almost like you physically get sick in this, and you know that that's one of these maybe Earth type circles. That is it like a, kind of a weird, I'm going to use a weird analogy, but is it like a needle going in to help the Earth heal?
Absolutely, and I mean, I even have a photograph in my book that shows a beam of light coming down to hit the ground, and then there's a person that's actually witnessed a crop circle a day later. So there's an input of energy that goes into the ground, and the Earth also is firing up some of the crop circles themselves. So there is an input of energy. We know that all the crop circles are appearing along the Earth's paths of electromagnetic energy. So just like sticking a needle or even into one of our blood veins or blood vessels, that's exactly what they're doing. So they are interacting with the Earth's electromagnetic field. And they did say that they are, to a certain degree, helping to stabilize the planet to buy us time, because the planet also has a shift. It has its own time and its clock. It has its own agenda. It needs to heal itself, and it will do. It doesn't care about us.
No.
We're just all these little sort of dogs and fleas on the surface, those pesky humans and their little toys. But I think once we start aligning to natural rhythms and to the Earth itself, and again, it all sounds very New Agey, but you know what? It's the most important message out there. We do need to pay attention to the natural laws and work with them. That's how ancient civilizations were maintained for thousands of years in perfect equilibrium. So that is another part of the crop circle messages that people get again and again. I've seen lawyers go into these crop circles, and their awareness of the world goes 180 degrees. Now they want to do, they want to represent clients, like Greenpeace or the Nature Conservancy, or people who actually are in great need of a good lawyer. They're not longer representing criminal cases. So their focus has also been shifted because of this unusual interaction that has changed them subconsciously. That's how it's happening.
How long does the crop circle and the energy in that crop circle, how long does it last? Does it last a few hours, a few days, or forever?
Oh, about 5 years. I have gone back into a field several years after the event. I also work as a dowser. And I've been able to plot the exact position and shape of what was there before without even knowing what the shape was in the first place. Although the converse is also true, if you get 10,000 people descending on the same design, the energy seems to dissipate much quicker. It's as if we act as blotting paper. We soak up a little bit of the energy, we take it home with us, and that's also very true. People do feel, and especially healers and people who do Reiki and massage, their customers do remark on how their energy feels very, very different and much more potentized, even though they're not aware of where their practitioners went away on holiday.
So it's almost like when they go in there, they fill themselves full of an energy to take away.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it happen again and again. And when you talk to people who are left-brain people who are not really into this, when they start talking like this, then you know something's happening. And farmers will be the first people who describe this as well, that there is something very unusual. very calming, very fertilizing about the energy in these designs, and they're in total awe. They might, in front of a camera, be very angry about having a crop circle in their land and people trespassing on their property, but when you get in privately, they're very, very different people. They do take on a very spiritual angle.
Do you think that some of the farmers are afraid to go inside the crop circle?
You know, they're not. Every single person that I've spoken to about this, they're always very excited. Canadian farmers especially, they have a great reverence for them, and they've been witnesses to some of the most incredible events, like the balls of light, the beams of light. They always talk about them happening in less than 15 seconds, strange colored balls flying around. I mean, this is the stuff that we see in Britain all the time. And they even harvest around the crop circle when the plants are ripe to give the researchers enough time to get there to go and experience it. So, yes, they do enjoy them, actually.
Does the plants, the crops around the crop circle, do they do better? Do they grow bigger? Is there more energy? You know, in other words, if you were to harvest anything around that crop circle, because usually the crop circle changes, but everything around that, would that be a higher yield?
Yes, it does, actually. In fact, it was the farmers who told us this in the first place, that they said that the area of the actual physical crop circle, after they've tilled the land and they've reseeded, there's something quite miraculous tends to happen. The plants that were now taking place, taking the area of the original crop circle, are starting to outgrow the rest of the plants in the field. There is a fertilizing quality to this energy.
Wow.
And William Levengood, the physicist who's analyzed thousands of samples in Michigan, he noticed the same thing. He's written peer-reviewed papers on this to show that the energy of the crop circles, the real ones, does have a fertilizing effect on the plants when the energy interacts at an early stage. And the growth pictures compared to the control samples are almost 2-to-1. So you can imagine the benefits that come from interacting with that kind of energy.
Wow. Very, very. You know, I thank you so much for being on. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I could talk about this for hours. Freddie, you know, I wish you well. Secrets in the Field is his book. His website is invisibletemple.com, www.invisibletemple.com. Freddie, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Again, I want to thank my guest, Freddie, for being on the show. And again, it's very... You have to be careful with who you listen to, especially in crop circles, because many of the information, much of the information, comes out and is skewed. And I don't know why. Well, yes, I kind of have my ideas why, and that would be because there are messages that come across these fields that the extraterrestrials want us to have. And so other forces need to make it look like it's not real. So I always thank Freddie for being on the show. Next week, Ed Grimsley is going to join us, and he has something that I think is very interesting. First time on the show, he's going to be talking about night vision. Now, we've all heard about night vision, but the question is, what kind of night vision is Ed Grimsley talking about? He seems to believe that there is UFOs fighting in the sky, and his night vision can spot it. Now, this is interesting. Join me next week, and until then, be aware of your surroundings, and good night.
You've been listening to Roddy McMullen, your watchman of the night skies on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com and make contact.